All right, back to Brady for a second. Let's hear, is it Scott Hansen of Red Zone ripping Brady?
Yeah, first it's the call of Brady and Kevin Burkhardt of this field goal attempt, which was originally a 66-yard field goal attempt from Braden Aubrey, and then Brandon Aubrey ended up attempting a 71-yard field goal, but they decided against it after a timeout, and this is what was said.
This is a 71-yard attempt, and now the Browns will call a timeout.
Maybe everyone's going to rethink this one.
71 yards.
Final timeout.
Go to the Jets now.
Oh, come on. Brady's got to get more excited than that in the booth. This is going to be a
Turner.
That was Hanson.
This is going to be a 71-yarder.
I don't know. You know, it was his first time out, Bob. There was a great story on it by Charles Robinson. I think, is it Yahoo Sports?
Yes.
And as Dan Wetzel refers to that column, he says, he really hit on the idea that it's a bit jarring for someone who's that big of an A-list star in and out of football to do the mostly mundane work of calling a game. That hits on it for me. When I tuned into that game, at the beginning, it was on. It was just jarring. Like, why is Brady doing this? Peyton Manning does his own Manning cast for games. To sit in a booth like that and do that for a high A-list celebrity, someone who's high on the list like that, that part really, it is jarring to me too, Bob.
$300 million. That's probably the reason. I don't care how rich he is, $300 million to do that job.
For sure, for sure that's the reason.
That's more than anyone, by far, lapping the field.
Who else has done it? Well, nobody's on his level for Super Bowls, but as far as being like literally
Tony
a celebrity.
Romo was somebody who he had Jessica Simpson, all that stuff happened.
Yeah, I mean, but not in the same stratosphere, I don't think.
But similar, and he's taken it and, you know, made it his own.
Who have been the Monday night? Well, Monday night they've had some.
Well, Monday
right?
night, but they've tried so many because they wanted a different approach, and that was hard to find. They eventually got back to, you know, football. You can bring in, who did they have? Dennis Miller did it. Who else?
Tony Kornheiser.
Tony Kornheiser did it.
Who left after a year? Who was it? The
Steve Levy and those guys?
No. The tight end, Jason Witten.
Oh, Witten.
Oh, that was
bad. He went back to play, but I don't think he was that good anyway.
Neither was the officiating.
I still maintain Chris Collinsworth is one of the best in the business. He does it in a way that he knows everything with the telestrator works.
But he fits more of the profile. A lunch bucket type player.
And Olsen is the same way. Olsen is understated, but he's good.
It's just weird seeing somebody of that level in terms of curating and celebrity doing that kind of work. It was jarring. That's a good word for it.
But I would give it time before I make any assessment on him. It's the first time in there. I'm sure he was a little bit nervous, but, you know, he's got to be more willing to throw some criticism and quote shade at people.
Yeah.
You know,
I agree. All right. To the officiating from yesterday, let's start with the Watt offside call that ruined a turnover, a great play by him, and led to the Falcons only touchdown. Bob, what was Hokie saying? Cause I was texting with him at the time and he said he hadn't seen an angle that was definitive yet. Did you guys ever get a definitive angle?
No. And that's the problem.
So what was your thought? Good call, bad call?
I thought it was a bad call. So many times, you know, you try to judge these things and look at things that you can use. You know, there's film study that gives you indications of what guys do. When you use that to your advantage, you shouldn't be penalized for it. And I think in that case, he was. Because if you look at the movement, sure, he moved. You're talking about Watt here, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, he moved, but he didn't get to the neutral zone. He was lined up a yard back, and he moved trying to time this whole thing perfectly. And
I think I agree with you there because of one angle I saw. Having said that, I kind of get being fooled by that because his instincts and his what would you call it on that play? His ability to beat everybody to the snap I could see being fooled by that as an official.
I can too.
That's a tough one. But, I don't have a huge problem with that one.
Officials have allowed left tackles specifically to get an extra jump.
Yes.
And they never throw a flag on it.
I know.
Now, if you're going to do that, you may as well not do that to a defensive player like Watt. Plus, it's Watt. I think you give him the benefit of the doubt if it's a close thing. Just because he studies everything. He knows what he's trying to do. Very similar to Troy Polamalu in his anticipation of a snap count and when he can jump.
I understand that one. The one I had a problem with, a bigger problem, was Pickens down the left sideline with the offensive pass interference. And by the way, I think that was the series that preceded Atlanta's first touchdown. So again, and again, every big play down the field in a game that has hardly any is a game-changing play. That was nothing. You see that on every play down the field. It was a little bit of infighting, and I thought that the rule was you had to extend your arms on such a play to be called for something like that. Terrible call there.
Well, I think that's the problem. The standard becomes just a little bit of contact and people calling it. You can't do that. It has to be, to me, pretty obvious. Yeah, there was a little, but they're hand fighting. He didn't push him. I think the defensive back probably sold it a little bit. And from the angle of that that official, I guess, you know, they're putting emphasis on these things. Call it. But I wouldn't call it. I'd let things. I would rather let guys determine what is and what isn't a big time penalty. If you start calling that stuff like hands to the face, sometimes hands just go up. It's not intended to do. I thought they missed the call on Harris with the helmet being pulled off. That to me was clear cut. If you're going to call that play, then you should call that play.
And by the way, I thought they missed that on Najee too. But the stupidest rule on the books in the NFL right now is taunting. You saw Najee, and yes, I kind of like this about him.
But he should have been flagged.
He runs like a maniac. He gets up in people's faces and is jawing, and Steelers players got called for that last year, and everybody ripped them. My point, was it last year in L.A. that it was Deontay getting called
Deontay
for that?
Deontay Johnson,
is my memory right?
I think so.
A couple guys did. Maybe Pickens, too. It's such crap. These guys get up. In all these games, everyone I'm watching, they get right up after a play, get right in somebody's face, and is jawing in their face. That, according to this idiotic rule, is taunting, and that's what Najee did.
Right, and later they got Broderick Jones for getting into some place where I don't know what he did to deserve a penalty on an offsetting call.
So now there will be a play later in the year where somebody gets up and jaws in somebody's face, and they will get called for it. It's so stupid, Bob.
Yeah, it's erratic and it's inconsistent. Same is with the roughing the passer. I saw four different plays yesterday.
So did I.
One of them was ridiculous that they would call even roughing the passer. The other two were okay. And then there was one that I thought has no business being called. You just, again, though, the league is putting pressure on these guys to call anything that looks like.
I know,
like,
but they don't. Sometimes they do and some they don't. Speaking of Brady, and I felt this way for years. We all feel, I bet, sometimes in sports like we're the only one either seeing something or complaining about something. The Brady rule exists, does it not? That if you're that as long as you're not thrown into somebody, you're not allowed to hit the quarterback below the knees in the pocket. Am I right about that?
Yes.
That rule exists.
Especially if you're trying to get out of the way, but you still make contact.
I saw that all over the place yesterday. Aiden Hutchinson, who had a great game, dove into Matthew Stafford's lower leg. It happens all the time, and it doesn't get called in the NFL, the Brady rule. I think they're so obsessed with the high hit on the quarterback that they forget all about the injurious low hit. It drives me crazy, Bob. And here's the other thing, the hip drop. There were instances of that yesterday that didn't get called. Njoku got injured on the textbook definition of a hip drop tackle. Josh Allen also got victimized by it and freaked out at the official because it didn't get called. That rule's a disaster.
It's hard to put that one and call it because the way guys tackle.
The hip drop?
Yeah, you know there are three components to the hip drop, and if they detect that they're all three met, they'll throw the flag. But there are sometimes, even without a third component, you can do damage to a guy tackling that way. So, I mean, it's just a difficult sport to officiate, I think, and they're making it more difficult by putting all these, you know, points of emphasis on the table every single year. And if you don't live up to it, then they're going to dock you for possibly getting a playoff game or anything beyond that.
Then what about the Brady rule? Do Do you agree with me? I see quarterbacks get hit below the knee all the time. All the time. And it's never, almost never called. It is a rule.
I know. But they don't, they're very erratic in calling it and enforcing it. I agree with you. So, but there were, I mean, there were, I hate always, the officiating's been inconsistent. A lot of it's bad, but it goes both ways. There were some calls, I thought Atlanta got called for a hands to the face, which was a ticky-tack call also. You know, there's a time and a place to call one of those plays. It has to be pretty egregious.
And they missed an egregious face mask on Najee.
Yeah.
They ripped his helmet off.
Yeah.
His helmet was ripped off.
I wouldn't describe it as ripped off, but I mean, he pulled it off.
By the face mask.
But you're not allowed to do that. Regardless of it was pulled, ripped, subtly, it's still not allowed to happen.
Here's the other thing, Bob, about officiating yesterday. And I'm not right on much, but I was right on this one. As soon as this new kickoff rule came out, I said, wait a second. So if you kick it out of the end zone, they only get to bring it to the 30? Because in the XFL, you get to bring it to the 35. So now we're talking a 10-yard difference from where it was, the 25. All anybody's going to do is kick it out of the – why would you risk a kick return? Just give them the ball 5 yards from where they had it last year at the 30. And sure enough, week one, it's a total dud because, as Florio put it, this was through 15 games with the new rule – 64% of kickoffs have been touchbacks. 64%. How could they not see that that was going
to
happen?
If they really want to engage people to return and make a return, move the kickoff even back further, or if they kick it into the end zone, make it a painful kick into the
40.
End zone. 40-yard line.
Last year, 73% touchbacks. This year, 63.5. Yeah, is that the big difference?
The starting position is almost identical, even with some returns. It doesn't get much beyond the 25 to the 28-yard line. So you're not exactly changing the dynamic, although having said that, there was one dynamic kickoff return yesterday for a touchdown.
Well, we saw one a couple last year, too. It happens.
It happens. It's not going to happen a lot, and I don't think you change the strategy here at all. I think they're trying to play both sides like the NFL will do. Player safety is still important, but we still want to get the return game back to maybe what it was more exciting.
No, it's cosmetic player safety. At the same time, they're saying these guys get hurt on kick returns. They're arguing for an 18th game, regular season game.
I mean, it is exactly. But the point is,
here's another thing we should talk about. This is just stupid.
If I'm a player, I am not in favor of these international games, especially on surfaces which are less than
horrendous.
Adequate.
Horrendous.
They're trying real hard. If I were the Players Association, Joe, I would say, wait a minute. In the next contract, we have to make some amendments here. You're not going to take us all over the world to play this, especially on conditions that can lead to injury.
Yes.
And there were a lot of those potential situations in that Brazilian game.
And speaking of injury, breaking news, Cameron Johnston out for the season.
Yeah, he needs surgery.
Season-ending knee injury.
What a horrible break.
It looked like a torn ACL as soon as it happened.
Killebrew just trying to protect his guy. That's heartbreaking.
Yeah, it is.
Really,
it's just one of the things that happens. And now they got to search for a punter. And that's not an easy thing to do because the guys who are unemployed normally have issues. You know, they signed Johnston to a pretty good deal. And
Josh Miller's available.
Bob, I know a guy. I know a guy who's available.
Don't tell me
he's a little familiar to the Steeler end zone. He might not find the Steeler end zone a lot.
Who's that?
Or actually, his punt does find the Steeler end zone a lot. Mr. Presley Harvin, come on.
That will happen.
I don't think they'll do it, no.
What about Brad Wing? Would you bring him back?
Yeah, I would. Wing and a prayer, why not?
Wing was way better than Harvin.
Deborah Winger. Bob, here's the other thing. Oh, what you said before was true. Atlanta thought that was a 4th-and-1 or 4th-and-2, whatever it was.
Yeah.
And I'm convinced that the Steelers did too, at least some of them on the field, and maybe Arthur Smith. That was a very odd formation and play call if it was just a regular play. The Falcons definitely thought it was 4th-and-1.
The way they reacted, it was a turn of possession.
How often
absolutely.
Do you see that in a game?
You don't. You don't.
Well, one side of the sticks said first down, and the other side said fourth down.
Right.
So on
and
opposite
saw Russell
sidelines,
Wilson
it was different.
Trying to tell Justin Fields, it's second down. It's a second down. How can that happen?
Incredible.
And why are there still chains?
Bob, I'm going to give you the choice of our noon topic. Are you ready for this, Bob?
Yes.
One, we could go around the league and give thoughts around the league, or we could save that till 1 o'clock. Two, we could grade the Steelers and their coaches along with Ray Fittipaldo's report card. It's completely up to you.
We'll do Ray and grades, and then we should come back to it because there are a lot of interesting things that happened yesterday in the NFL. You know, different games, teams.
So you want to do grades next and then go to NFL?
Yeah.
Okay. Then that's what we'll do, Limits. You heard it. We'll do it, won't we?
Let's do it.
All right. 50-minute mark on the Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Jeep Dodge, Route 19, Peters Township. Celebrating 50 years in the South Hills, it's noon. Time to stop blindly paying those increasing auto and home insurance premiums. Contact the Buell Insurance Agency in Gibsonia and see what they can do for you. Call City Limits to win tickets to the Outlaw Music Festival at Pavilion at Star Lake on September 14th. The Outlaw Music Festival. Caller number 3 to City Limits, 412-928-9370. Our football talk there presented by T-Mobile. Switch to T-Mobile. You can get tons of benefits. Still save on every plan versus AT&T and Verizon. Use their savings calculator to find out how at T-Mobile.com/switch. We got a lot to get to. We're going to go back in the 1 o'clock hour to a budding quarterback controversy because that's what it is.